Today I'm going to read a chapter of Friday Barnes, Girl Detective. Now this is the first book of the Friday Barnes series. And it's about a girl who is very smart for her age. And she solves a mystery in the beginning. Okay, chapter one, the beginning. Friday Barnes was not an unhappy child. That said, she wasn't deliriously over the moon either. She was just sort of left to get on with things. You see, Friday Barnes was the youngest of five children. Now, I know what you're thinking. Five children? Her mother must have been so busy. What a workload. What a chaotic house they must have. Well, that's not how it was at all. Friday's mother was a very symptomatic woman. You don't get to have a PDH in theoretical physics if you're not good at being methodical. And that is how Mrs. Barnes approached child-rearing. She decided she wanted children, so she allocated 4.5 years out of her career to have them. She spaced them at exactly 18 months apart, and when the oldest started school and the youngest two were in daycare, she went back to work. Now, I'm sure if you're good at maths, you will notice that if you have children 18 months apart over a four and a half year period, that gives you four children in total. Mr. and Mrs. Barnes had their four children and everything went to plan. They taught them to read with flashcards. They sent them to the best extracurricular maths workshops, and they even allowed them to participate in sport, if they call yoga sport. Then 9 years later, just as the youngest child was getting early admission to high school, the unexpected happened. Mrs. Barnes got pregnant again. There was no time in her schedule for childbirth. On the due date, she was committed to speak at the conference in Bern, Switzerland, about the possibility of the international supercomputer opening a black hole and showing the planet. For the first time in her adult life, Mrs. Barnes saw her ironclad grasp on her order and vision begin to slip. Mr. Barnes was, however, a man of action. If the action did not require him to leave his office or get up from his desk, he googled Bern and maternity hospitals. They discovered that there was one just 3 kilometres from the conference centre. Mr. and Mrs. Barnes both breathed a sigh of relief. From that moment on, life proceeded exactly as if Friday did not exist. Later in her third trimester, Mrs. Barnes travelled to Switzerland and gave a lecture. Halfway through the trip, she started to feel labour pains, but she was able to hold on throughout the PowerPoint presentation. And only the people in the front row noticed when her water broke. So when Friday was born, she was named Friday because that's what her parents thought was the day of the week. Because academics, they often become confused about the trivial matters of as times and dates. It was actually a Thursday, but the people at the birth registry did not question the name. They just assumed Mr. and Mrs. Barnes were Robinson Crusoe fans, which of course they were not, because neither of them believed in reading fiction. 11 years later, Friday Barnes has largely raised herself. She was fairly small and dull-looking, with light brown hair, muddy brown eyes, and the trick of finding the exact spot in the room with the least light, so that if she stood perfectly still, nobody would notice when she was there. Friday found it best to go unnoticed as much as possible. Being noticed would just cause trouble. If her mother noticed Friday was eating an entire block of milk chocolate, she would take it off her and tell her to eat an apple. If she didn't notice, Friday would eat as much as she liked. If her father noticed that Friday was reading a shocking tell-all book about serial killers, he would take it off her and give her a copy of the periodic table to memorize, never having noticed that she already memorized it by the age of 4. Friday found that if she was able to go unnoticed, which was very easy when you have academic parents whose brains are totally consumed with the thoughts of quasars and electrons all day long, then she could do whatever she liked. When her father walked past her bedroom at 1 o'clock in the morning on a school night and noticed that her light was still on, he would, like a normal parent, say, "Shouldn't you be in bed?" But unlike a normal parent, when Friday said, "No, father, it's only 8 p.m., he would just nod,